such a great job. I'm just really, really happy with that time. All right. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We are continuing our series on supernatural living. Say supernatural. Supernatural is when you live a natural life and God brings His super into it. Amen? You begin to experience God's ideas and God's plans in the way that you live your life. We can live our lives like natural people, or we can step into that place where from Sunday all the way through to Saturday, we actually begin to experience the spiritual dynamics, the supernatural life that God planned for you to live on planet Earth. Can you say amen? And so this morning, the title of this message is The Power to Bless. Say with me, the power to bless. Amen. You have the ability to bless people. We're going to find out what that means. Answer this question with me. How did God create the world? What did He do? What did He do? He spoke words. That's right. God spoke the world into existence. Words have a powerful spiritual meaning in your life. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Jesus speaking, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now, where did they hear that? Anybody tell me? Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said." Where did they hear that from? Where was that? Did somebody make that up? No. That was their law. It actually said that in their law. Their law said, you will love your neighbor, but you will hate your enemy. So God, dealing with unregenerate people, He had a different requirement from them based on the fact that there were certain things they were unable to do. So He says, okay, you will love your neighbor, but you'll hate your enemy. But now Jesus comes as the one who introduces us to the new covenant. And He says, but I say to you, so this is a new commandment, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, a lot of people trip up over that little word, they're perfect. And they say, well, I could never be perfect, so I don't have to worry about anything Jesus said there. The word perfect that is used here in the Greek is the word teleos. It hasn't actually got so much the meaning as perfect. It's an unfortunate choice by the translators, because really what Jesus said, the word teleos actually is the word complete. When Jesus died on the cross, just before He died, He cried out and He said, it is finished. The word finished is the same Greek word, which is the word teleos, which actually, in that situation, Jesus said it is finished or it is completed. It is actually also an accounting term that is written across whenever somebody had a bill to pay, and he would take it to the person that he owed the debt to. When he paid for the debt, they would take his account and write across it, teleos. It meant paid for, paid in full. Jesus actually declared on the cross, your sins, paid in full. Your debt you had towards God, paid in full. Amen. Your diseases, paid in full. Your lack, teleos, paid in full. So when Jesus is saying, be perfect, He's basically saying, don't be partial. Don't try and figure out who you're going to be nice to, who you feel deserves to be, to receive kindness from you, and who doesn't. He says, come on, be the same right across the board. Come out of a place, operate out of a place of being complete. Not because a person deserves your blessing. So He says, now love your enemies. Think outside the box. Don't be limited to what a person, what you feel a person deserves and whatnot. Because in doing so, you will limit what God does, wants to do. So you are God's agent, and the way that he can get to people is through you. Now, the reason that Jesus says that is because God is showing no favoritism, as we see in this passage. He gives rain to the just and the unjust. He causes his sun to rise on the just, on the good and the bad. So God is not showing any favoritism. Why? Because he hasn't got any. God cannot be tempted with anything bad to do anything bad. Why? Because he never has a bad day. I cannot bring blessings to someone unless I understand something about how God's blessing is released. Jesus said, "Bless those who curse you." Now, it's not that you wait for someone to do something really bad to you and then you say, "Oh, here's the opportunity." Basically, what he's saying is, bless anybody. Don't limit it to just certain people. It is my will that you go out and bless the person that I'm directing you specifically to bless. That can be anybody. Now, the principle of blessing, the way that it is actually found in Scripture, is in this setting. It means to speak well of, because that is what you are thinking as you say it. So it's real. I don't say to you, "Well, I bless you," but on the inside I'm thinking, "I don't like you very much. I remember what you did the other day. God bless you, brother." No, as I say to you, "I bless you," I mean it from my heart. It has nothing to do with the fact that you've been kind to me, but I sense the impression of God to do that for you, to bless you. It's real, and in doing so, we release the blessing of God. Let's find in Scripture how the blessing of God operated in the Old Testament. Let's have a look very quickly. In Genesis 48, we don't need to go there, although we will have a look maybe at one verse in a minute. We find that Jacob nears the end of his life, and Joseph hears that his father is now very sick and he's about to die. Now, Joseph is the one who was sold by his brothers into slavery, ended up in Egypt as a slave, and then in jail because of a woman who was immoral, who lied about some things. And then eventually, when his time came, God promoted him. He became basically the prime minister in Egypt. And God used him to avert a terrible disaster where famine was going to basically wipe out a huge amount of people on the earth. And God, in his mercy, placed his man there. And so he was able to manage the situation, which is really a powerful picture of what God wants to do with the church during the time when things go a little bit topsy-turny. How do we call that? Something like that. You know, in this earth, we don't say, "Okay, a quick exit for the church." No, God wants the church actually to be his managing agency to soften the things that the enemy wants to produce in this earth. Amen. Now, so what happens is that Joseph hears that his father is about to die. What does he do? He quickly takes his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and he goes to daddy. And as he comes into the house, Jacob actually has been informed that Joseph is on his way. And its Bible says he actually strengthened himself. He gathered up his strength. And, you know, he's very weak. He's obviously very, very old. He's at the end of his life. He's blind or very poor in eyesight. And Joseph comes in with his two boys. And, you know, you can see really that the Spirit of God comes on Jacob, because he begins to say things about Joseph's boys. He says, "Ephraim and Manasseh." Now, interestingly, he reverses the order, because Manasseh is the older one and Ephraim is the younger one. But Jacob doesn't address it. Just stay with me. We're going to get here. Jacob doesn't address them as Manasseh and Ephraim. He mentions Ephraim first. signifying that it has nothing to do with whether a person deserves blessing based on, you know, their birthright. It really was something that is by divine appointment. The blessing of God never comes because a person deserves it, but because it is by divine appointment. God decides to bring blessing to people. You and I would have never gotten saved unless God decided that he sent his son so that the blessing of a new life could come to you and I. Can you say amen? Now that's the principle behind it. And so what happens in this is that Jacob ends up blessing these boys. And actually the way that Joseph brings them to Jacob is that he brings Manasseh, the older one, with his left hand to his father's right hand, which is always the hand where the blessing flows from. And he brings Ephraim, the younger one, to his left hand. But what Jacob does, even though he's so blind, he cannot see which one is which, by the Holy Spirit, he switches his arms and makes a sign of the cross. It's quite interesting. And he places his right hand on the younger one, Ephraim, and his left hand on the older one, Manasseh. When Joseph sees that, he gets angry. You can read it for yourself sometime. It's in Genesis 48. And he says, "No, Daddy, don't do that." And Jacob said, "It's okay. I know what I'm doing. The older one is also going to get blessing, but Ephraim shall be the one who will become a great nation, and out of him are going to come many, many peoples." So we see that Jacob is directed by the Lord. It is God who is using through Jacob, even though he's old, he's half blind, the blessing flows to the younger one. Now that to me is a powerful thing in Scripture, because we know, of course, that Jacob himself wasn't the oldest one. His brother Esau was, but he received the blessing. It is something that goes all the way through Scripture, that the blessing of God doesn't automatically come on the person that you think should have it. It is always the one that God appoints to receive it. Now that excites me, because that makes me realize that any person that I come in contact with can be a candidate for the blessing of God. Can you say amen? I think many times we miss out on what God wants to do in people's lives because we limit it to what our understanding is of a person who deserves the blessing of God. And so God has reserved the power to bless to himself, but he chooses you and I to be his instruments to do so. Now, the blessing of the Lord is never earned. It is by divine appointment. We see the same in the life of David. When Samuel is called by the Lord, Saul, who has been King Saul, he has failed in his kingship, and the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, I'm through with Saul, and I'm sending you to anoint, to bless another man who's going to be king in his stead. And so he says, I want you to go to the house of Jesse. And here's all of Jesse's sons. And so they call them all together. They don't even bother with David because he's the youngest. There's plenty of other brothers before him that are well qualified to be king. But none of them receive it. And finally, Samuel gets every one of them passed before him. He said, none of these. Have you got anybody else? They said, well, actually, come to think of it, there is another one, David, but we didn't really think to bring him because we thought there's plenty of potential here. So they bring David. And David, to everyone's chagrin that's there, receives the anointing and is there crowned, or is there not crowned, obviously, but he is anointed by Samuel to be king. It was not what they had expected. You know, I remember, actually, I was sharing that yesterday with the group. Sometimes we have this, I got it all figured out. I'm like this. I don't know why I'm like this, but I tend to figure out how God's going to do it all. And then he comes around and he messes it all up. I remember being in Africa, and one night, you know, I was with my brother-in-law. We were doing an outdoor meeting. This is in Ghana quite a few years ago. And we said, okay, this particular night, we're going to pray for all the blind people. And so I was going to be ministering that night. So at the end of my preaching, I said, okay, everybody that's blind, raise up your hand, okay? We can pray for you. God's going to heal the blind people. So we prayed a prayer, rebuked the blindness. Everybody, and be healed. Begin to check yourself. So the next thing, this guy comes with two crutches in the air, has been a cripple for many years, and he's healed. And he comes to the platform, and they say, there's a crippled healed. And I said, no, he can't come. Was he blind? And they said, no, he's a cripple. I said, well, that's no good. They said, well, what do you mean? It's a miracle. And my brother-in-law said, Steve, what are you doing? You got to get him to testify. It didn't work in my head, you see, because I had figured out how God was going to do it all. And then when he healed a cripple, I thought, well, how could that be? See, sometimes I think we limit what God wants to do because we're so focused in on how it's going to happen. I know nobody else does that, but I do that sometimes. I don't know what that is. Pray for me. I was with Taj yesterday. We were sitting there. I said, okay, we're supposed to look for these people. He said, why don't we talk to anybody? I said, no, we can't do that because that's not on the list. We got to stick with the list. He said, I bet you the others aren't sticking to their list. He was right. Come on now. I know I'm talking to you. So, the blessing in the New Testament is available to every person. You know, that is something that is so amazing that once you catch this, you will see that the power to bless people is huge. It is not just for saved, it's for saved and unsaved people. Many times Jesus did miracles even before they believed in him. Jesus performed a miracle for Peter when he gave him this huge catch of fish. And then Peter said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. So many times God will do things in a person's life even before they acknowledge him as Savior. That's the power. And we can stop short of seeing that happen in a person's life because they first have to get saved. I remember ministers not praying for a person for healing because they weren't saved yet. I said, well, if that was true, Jesus wouldn't have prayed for any or would lay hands on no sick person during his ministry because none of them were saved. And they couldn't be yet. But sometimes our religious ideas get in the way. We miss out on what God wants to do. All right. There are people that you meet daily. God's ways to bless them. Many times you don't even like those people. And God wants to bless them. You know, I got saved about 31 years ago now. That's a long time ago. And again, I'm not a young guy anymore either. But I had some friends of mine in Holland. You know some of them, Micha. And I'd known them when I was a young child from a time when there was some meetings happening in the particular part of the country. I'd grown up really and didn't know the Lord. I was about 18 years of age. They'd invited me to spend some time with them during the holidays. So when I got to their town, little town in the east of Holland, Fas, and they took me to a cafe, which is like a pub really. That's quite normal in Holland to go there, even if you're a Christian, because the cafe is a bit like you can drink coffee there too. So we went there, and the nice guys, you know, of course, I didn't know the Lord, so I was swearing my head off the whole time. Terrible language. I didn't know the Lord. And while I was talking, I was not aware that I was doing that, really. It was just my normal way of conversation. Had a lot of filler in it. And so one of them, as I was speaking, he just put his hand on me, and he said, Steve, we love you. You're a wonderful brother. We're praying for you. And then the other one put his hand on me and he said, you know, God's got great things in store for you. You know what? It hit me so strong. Now, if that would have told me you shouldn't be speaking that way, that's bad. I heard that all before. Never changed anything. But they blessed me. And it was within 4 or 5 months I came to know the Lord. I can trace it right back to that moment where these men, these good Christian people, placed a hand on me and declared blessing over me. That impacted me. I have a nephew through Danielle's family. His name is Damien. Last week, he's only been a Christian for a short time, a couple of months. Their marriage was on the way out, and he began to really call on the Lord and make contact with actually Paul and Tracy, who you know, some of you know. You know, long story short, that God's restored that marriage. And last week, he actually put this on Facebook. I thought it was powerful. He was in Coles in the supermarket at the till, and the lady in front of him got declined with her FPOS as she put the groceries through. So she started to pull all the luxury items out until finally it accepted the amount that she was able to put through. Well, Damien stands there and this thought hits him, buy her the luxury items. So she's packing up and about to go. He said, excuse me. He says to the lady at the till, he says, I'll pay for those other luxury items. So they rang him through the thing again, and he paid for them. The lady looked at him, broke down in tears, hugged him, and said, no one's ever done this for me. He said, well, I just want God to bless you. That's all he said. That's the blessing of God. You and I are called. I know that was God speaking to him. He said, I never had thought like that before in my life. So we know that wasn't the devil talking to him. We do things to people that releases the blessing of God into this earth. There's people around you who have never experienced anything of God's blessing, only curse. You and I have the power to bless them. Now, I'm not saying go and pay for everybody's groceries, but be open for what the Holy Spirit may be saying to you, and then go for it. And God will do the rest as far as what will happen in people's lives. In Acts chapter 10, we find that Peter is invited to a group of Gentile people who have been visited by an angel. And Peter is supposed to go and tell them the good news. But he doesn't want to go, because he doesn't think that they are worthy. He says, no, we can't do that because... And the Lord has to speak to him with a vision and with a sheet with unclean animals. And God says, eat it. And he says, no, I'd never do that. And God says, come on, eat it three times. And all this happening because Peter has limited the idea of who deserves God's blessing. Finally, the Holy Spirit speaks. Now, come on now. He says, I've sent these people. You go. That's very interesting. All right. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, let your conversation be with grace, seasoned with salt, that what? That you may know how to answer each one. Let your conversation, that's your speech, be with grace, seasoned with salt. Grace, of course, is the favor of God. The blessing is always released through words. Of course, there's actions that correspond with that, but the blessing initially, as we find in Scripture, is always released through words. Now, this is the interesting thing that I find with this. Words are containers. And my admonition to you is don't carry empty containers. Make sure that your words are filled with something of God. Let your words, the Bible says, let your conversation be filled with grace and seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt to me means that your conversation, your words are not blend. They're not neutral. They're not meaningless. No, they have something that will make people thirsty for more. Say things that will make a person want more. Be different to just casual talk. Amen? Let's say things that have meaning. Let's say things to people that actually have something of the goodness of God in them. You'll have those opportunities. Amen. Jesus placed a premium on the words that you speak. One of the things he said, if you call a person a fool, he says, you'll be in danger of the council. If you say to a person, you empty head, or you idiot, he says you'll be in danger of hellfire. Everybody pray right now for forgiveness. The point here is not having a go at you about saying things like that. The point is, it shows you the importance of the words that we speak, that we speak blessing and not cursing. That we don't speak out of our natural mind and speak the way, but that to see that the words that we speak to people will actually produce or hold back the blessing that God has for people. God's desire is to bless people around you. And for His blessing to come, He needs a person that understands that that's God's intention and knows how to release it by the words that He speaks over that person. You know what? As I've studied this, it has impacted me to the point that I don't even want to talk about, you know, what this person did to me, to Danielle, and to become so conscious that whatever a person does or says about me isn't really that important. What is more important is that they are a candidate for the blessing of God, irrespective of what their behavior is like. See, God knows what a person needs for their life to turn around. Let's not limit that, okay? Now, Mark 11:14, this is where Jesus has a conversation with a fig tree. He says, let no one eat from you ever again. The disciples heard it. What is that? It's an object lesson. Jesus didn't use people as an object lesson. He used a tree. Why? Because there's plenty of trees. Trees don't really get that hurt about it, irrespective of what some people may think. But Jesus used that tree as an object lesson of the power of words. He says, watch this. As I speak words of cursing over that tree, no one will ever eat from you again. That tree died. When did it die? 3 days later? No, on the spot. It manifested a little bit later. I'm not even talking about, you know, speaking well over your children, all that sort of thing. But what I do say is this. We should, on purpose, take the time to bless our children. You can do this at home. You can get your family together and say, now, let's just talk over each other. You know, what you believe God wants to do for Jimmy and for Sarah and for John and for Daddy. You begin to speak out of your mouth the things that you believe God has for those people. You know that those things will make a difference in a person's life? We begin to, on purpose, practice speaking blessing in our family. Declaring things. You know, maybe while your children are asleep, just go in there, just declare the will of God over them, the blessing, the good things that God has in mind for them. You may have children grown up, they're away from God. Whenever you think about them, declare the blessing of the Lord over their lives. Declare that the will of God will come to pass in their lives. Speak it out of your mouth. Believe that the power of blessing will overturn anything that the enemy has tried to do. Can you say amen? All right, listen to this. Ephesians 4:29, and I'm reading it to you from the Amplified Bible. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as it is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing, say blessing, and give grace, that's God's favor, to those who hear it. You know, corrupt speech, this is what the Bible actually says there in the New King James Bible, let no corrupt speech come out. Corrupt speech is downgraded conversation. Say I come to Charlie and Charlie has bought a brand new lawnmower. And I say, Charlie, can I borrow your lawnmower? And he says, that's fine. You go ahead and use my lawnmower. I use his lawnmower and I hit every rock and I really abuse that. And by the time I give it back to him, it looks terrible. Do you think he will lend me his lawnmower again? Well, maybe that one, but not if he had a new one. Why? Because I downgraded its value by abusing it. Now, that's what the Bible speaks about when it talks about corrupt communication, that we use our mouth for things that God never intended to for you as a believer. That you are speaking things out of your mouth that really downgrade the level of conversation that God intends. You're a believer. Blessing is to flow out of your mouth. The Bible says, bless and do not curse. Did Jesus ever curse any person apart from a fig tree? Never. In fact, he blessed people that some people felt didn't deserve it. Whether it's a tax collector or a lady that had an issue of blood or a leper, Jesus blessed them. That's the key. All right, we're going to bring this to a close now. Number one, and this is in closing. God wants to invade this world, the lives of people, by blessing them in Jesus' name. Say amen. We don't initiate it, but we have to speak it first before God can release it. Number three, you can be a blessing to the people around you every day of the week. I want to say one more thing, and we'll close with this. People around you do not know how to access the blessing of God. You are the one that has to release it over them. How many believe you've received something this morning? How many believe that you're beginning to see that your place in this world as an agent of the blessing of God is powerful? This is not meant to condemn anybody. I'm not having to go with nobody. I just want you to begin to recognize the importance of the speech and the opportunities that we have. Let's all stand, shall we? Praise God. Amen. I've kept you a little bit longer, but I trust it's beneficial to you. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Lord, you want to bring heaven to earth. You want to bring the kingdom of God with power into people's lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you've chosen us, your children, to no longer operate under a law system, but that you've brought us into the grace of God, where with our mouth we can be dispensers of the grace of God and the blessing of God that makes rich, adds no sorrow with it. Father, I pray that the word that was spoken today will be like seed in good ground, that we will begin to see the opportunities to speak blessing to so many people around us who live under the authority of darkness and are void of any blessing of God. Father, we thank you that you have qualified so many more than what we have even thought possible. May we see the opportunity. May we know the prompting of your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. I want to do just one more thing, very quickly. I want you to just turn to one other person. Just put your hand on them and just say over them, I release God's blessing on your life. Just release it. Mean it as you say. Just I release the blessing of God. Just do it now. Just put your hand on them. Touch them. Come on. Say, I release God's blessing. I release it into your life. Amen. Receive that. Isn't that easy? That's real. Next time you say to a person, God bless you, mean it. Say, God bless you. Look them in the eye. Say, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You're dismissed. Don't forget, we have coffee, tea, and all those sort of good things. And have a tremendous week. Don't forget the children. If you have children, go and pick them up. Amen. Blessings. Blessings. Amen.